Senate will be in order. The prayer today will be offered by the Senator from Dickinson, Senator Whiting. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Ella Sundstrom.
Let us pray. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus performs many miracles and signs, both privately and in public and large group settings. But what I often miss are many examples of Jesus withdrawing to desolate places to pray. In the midst of his ministry, the Son of God needed solitude in order to find quiet time to pray and convene with God the Father. What a precious reminder for each of us. In the midst of our busy lives and the craziness of this job, help us to seek solitude, the quiet places where we can connect with the one true Almighty God. Help us seek you, O God, in all we do. Help us pursue truth, wisdom, and justice, and do so with a heart of love, compassion, mercy, and humility. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, the journal is approved as printed. Are there senators to be excused? Pursuant to Rule 38, the chair refers Senate File 481 from the calendar to transportation. Are there any senators seeking the floor for announcements or introductions? Seeing none, do any senators? Chair recognizes the senator from Blackhawk, Senator Dotzler.
I thank you, Mr. President, for recognizing me. I might have got a little slow on the button. I feel compelled to talk a little bit this morning, and I'm deeply troubled about what's been occurring with a lot of the proposed and passed legislation, and the fact that
Senator, sorry to interrupt you. Are you doing a point of personal privilege?
Yes.
We're not quite there yet, but I'll recognize you
now.
We are at that point for points of personal privilege. Seeing no senator seeking the floor for announcements or introductions, you may proceed, Senator.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood because I thought you said, is there anybody that wants to do a point? So, okay, well, I'll back up. I'll start over with my 10 minutes too, Mr. President. I better hit my stopwatch here. So I know before I was told after a speech that I made that we had 10 minutes to speak on points of personal privilege, and I said, no, we didn't have that rule. Well, we do have it. It's just never been enforced. When I went and looked back and talked to former presidents of the Senate and people that have been here for more than 30 years, we kind of let it go unless somebody ran over and over into other meetings. So I will try to honor that rule. So what I wanted to say is I'm deeply troubled about what's occurring with proposed and passed legislation here in the Iowa Senate and what it's having on the effect of Iowa's future. You know, I heard early on in the session about how we're going to run a conservative agenda, and I understand that, but what about Iowa's agenda? You know, what are the needs of Iowans and Iowa's economy and what we need to do? And unfortunately, I don't know, it just seems like this session has turned out to be more of us versus you or you versus us, and you know, we're pointing fingers at each other, and I don't think we're working together like we should. And when it comes to Iowa's economy, there isn't any you, it's all us. It's us, the citizens of the state of Iowa, and how we're going to grow and benefit our state. And I've been involved with economic development for my 25 years here in the legislature, and actually 5 years before that in Blackhawk County, with the Blackhawk County Economic Development, working on workforce development and those kind of issues. And I got to tell you, we had great opportunities coming into this session of recruiting people to Iowa. And that is the number one need of our business community today, is how are we going to fill those technology jobs that are occurring in Iowa? And the technological revolution that's occurring, it's just stunning. The things that are changing in the world of business, in the digital world, manufacturing, is enough to scare you. So there are three real main categories. One, number one, the workforce. Number two, housing issues. And number three, child care, that we hear from economic developers all over Iowa. And the Economic Development Authority under Director Durham has really been working on trying to enhance a lot of that and try to put a brand together for Iowa that makes Iowa an attractive place. But unfortunately, here in the Iowa Senate, we've been running a lot of bills that are contrary to what we're trying to brand, and it's having an effect on the business community's views of Iowa. In fact, the whole country is looking at Iowa and what's going on here with some of the ultra-conservatism. And I was putting this information together early last week and looking at some of the bills, and all of a sudden on Thursday, you might have seen it, I hope you read it, the Business Record put out an article talking about this very subject. And the headline is, "Controversial Bills Affecting Iowa's Image, Hurting Businesses and Workforce Recruitment, Leaders Say." And that isn't a bunch of leftist leaders. It's people that are involved in economic development in our state. Now, we had a great opportunity, as I said earlier, because this COVID and what's been going on in the country, businesses are learning that you can work from home. We can have people who are distance employees and work for companies and don't have to work right directly in the factory. And we all know what great communities Iowa has, the great people that are here, the school systems that are slowly being eroded in my view, but still, you know, that individual instruction in rural Iowa. Iowa's a great state. So we have an opportunity for people on the coast that are dealing with fires and floods and hurricanes and traffic and you name it, to come to Iowa and still work in a coastal business or a different place. But now, because of these bills, people are viewing Iowa in a different way, especially corporate America. And according to the Business Record, we've lost deals at our universities because of some of the bills that are going through here. And I could just name a few. You know, it started out before session. The Atlantic magazine talked about Iowa's what happens when government does nothing. When it was concerned about the COVID and how it could affect Iowa in the long run. Just recently this month, Forbes magazine, and I wouldn't call them a liberal organization in any stretch of the imagination, had an article about if you want a state legislature that likes to meddle with higher education, move to Iowa. And they were referring to the tenure bills, the bills that are trying to focus and find out which professor belongs to what party and who says what. Now, I admit there were at least one professor that I'm aware of that stepped over the line, but that doesn't mean we need to put out bills like that. You know, and I know that a lot of these bills are what you consider trying to send a message or a shot over the bow, so to speak. But man, we're shooting ourselves in the economic foot. It's a ricochet. You think you're accomplishing one thing, but you're doing something else. You're hurting our economy in the long run. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, my kids grew up in Iowa, but they're looking to go somewhere else. This isn't the kind of vision that they have for our state, one that goes after, you know, transgender individuals who are born a certain way. that through no choice of their own and whatever God made, that's who they are. And we saw what happened in North Carolina when we had bathroom bills that dealt with that. The business community rebelled against that state, and there was serious economic damage done to a technology state. You know, we didn't just stop there. Now, if we got somebody we don't agree with us, guess what we do? We go after them. And in the Veterans Committee, I see a bill that's going after the Commandant because he made statements that made a member of this chamber mad, and a few members of the Veteran Committee made him mad, so we're going to go after him. And the tech companies that are out there, we're not happy about them because of the freedom of speech issue, because they maybe might have stopped on social media some lies. You know, freedom of speech does have its limits. You can't, you're laughing, but freedom of speech does have its limits. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. You would say that that's freedom of speech, but that isn't legal and you could get in trouble for it. Well, maybe you think that freedom of speech interest is more important, Mr. President, to how people view our state, but we have major tech companies here. And when you start talking about taking away the benefits that were given to them, the incentives to move to Iowa, to build here, to develop an industry, that has an effect on them and it has an effect on others. You know, it's not just Facebook or going down the line, some of the other ones that are out there. We've got Amazon, for example, has a major technology sector and platforms. You can look at some of the other things that are out there, Google, you name it. This is going to have a negative effect on the state of Iowa, and it already has. We've got to start thinking about what we're doing here, and we got to work on Iowa's agenda. This extreme agenda is affecting economic development, Iowa's brand, and we are going to lose out on a lot of important opportunities when it comes to economic development and people moving to Iowa. I want you to read this article. I want you to read this article and what was said about some major tech companies that basically said they're not moving to Iowa because of what we're doing here in the Iowa legislature and in the Iowa Senate. It's affecting our economy. It's going to have a long-term effect on recruitment to people to Iowa, especially in the tech sector and the bio research sector. And it's so important that we consider and look at the facts and how it can affect our economy. I see my 10 minutes are up, Mr. President. Thank you for this opportunity.
For what purpose does the Senator from Hancock, Senator Guth, seek the floor?
For a personal point, Mr.
Chairman. You are in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Senator Dossler, for those comments. And plenty of things I could say, but just one that I would like to bring up is that 3 weeks ago I received a letter from a couple living in the Minnesota and Minneapolis metro area that said, I'd like to know a little bit about Iowa because I'm getting really disgusted with what's going on here in Minneapolis. We've defunded the police. Everything's locked down. We can't go anywhere. I'd like to know that if I come to Iowa, you would protect my rights to be out and about, to go where I want to go, that you would protect my Second Amendment rights so that I have the opportunity to defend my own property and my family, and that you would support the police. And I was proud to be able to write back to him and say, that is what is on our agenda this year. I mentioned to him we had just passed the constitutional amendment, resolution for the constitutional amendment to put the right to keep and bear arms in our Iowa Constitution at that time. So, Senator Dotzler, there are plenty of people that want to move here to Iowa. It all depends on which voice you want to listen to. Thank you.
There are no further senators seeking the floor for the information of the body. There is a pair of eyeglasses back in the lobby lounge, so if you're missing your glasses, you can find them there. Chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate adjourn until Wednesday, March 3rd at 9 a.m.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate will be adjourned until Wednesday, March 3rd at 9 a.m.